Thank you for choosing to listen to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. For more resources and information on our church or our team, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.
My beautiful wife, she's amazing. And like she said, we've been serving the Lord for some time. And one of my life messages, sometimes people have a certain message, a certain life message that everywhere they travel, they always want to share on that particular subject or that message. And I've obviously spoken a lot of things, being a pastor over the years, but I think my life message, that's why we call the church we lead a glorious gospel church. So I want to speak on the glorious gospel, but please don't think that I've heard the gospel. He's going to be preaching on something I know, because the gospel is filled with glory. Amen. 2 Corinthians says that open up our eyes to the glorious gospel in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. This good news is glorious. It's actually glory filled. But the glory doesn't come if we don't have a revelation of what God's done for us. So when I think about the gospel, I think about all that Christ has done for us and all that we are in him. So who we are in him. I'm no longer alive. I'm dead to my old man. My old man was crucified with Christ for me in 1987. And I was at the age of 19. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up in the faith. I didn't know Jesus. My background was Catholic. I believed in God. If you said to me, are you a Christian? I would have said yes, but I can tell you what, I was not living a Christian life. I didn't know Jesus. In fact, I was in the nightclub scenes. I was a breakdancer, hip-hop scenes, drinking a lot of alcohol, doing that sort of life, that worldly life, because I was empty inside, looking for love, looking for reality. I didn't even know what I was looking for, but I knew I was searching. I knew I was empty. I knew I didn't have what I needed. And when I saw Christians, I went to church and I saw what they had. I can't explain it any other way, but I can see they had something I didn't have. And I could see their love, their joy, their peace with God, their peace, just their love. And I thought, I need what they have. Even their security, knowing where they were going in life. They just knew where they were going. We shine like lights, like you never know. People around us see the way we live our life, and we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, the light of the earth. They can see what we have, and they go, I want what you have. And that's what was me. Age of 19, didn't have a clue what Jesus did on the cross for me. Even though I grew up in a Catholic home, I never read the Bible. I went to church Christmas and Easter, just about sometimes, not always, but very rarely I went. And very religious background, but I believed in a God. So if you said to me, are you a Christian? I probably would have said yes. And at night time, I'd pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us. And I said, Lord, help me to grow rich, grow tall, and take care of my mother and father and brother and sister. What are you laughing for? You're looking at me and think, God didn't answer your prayers. He did. My mum was like this and my dad was like that. So maybe he did answer my prayers. But I was religious. And I'd pray those prayers really fast, really, really quick. No reality, no relationship, just our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, just really fast. It was over in about 10, 20 seconds. And I didn't have a connection with God. I didn't know who God was. And so I was searching as a young man. And I'm saying that because first to understand my story, my background, but also to realize there's a lot of hungry people outside in our community, in our city. They're also desperate. We don't realize how empty people are. That's why they go to substance. That's why they go make everything else an idol. Whether we realize it or not, we're going to worship something. Yeah. You are created to worship. If we don't worship the true and living God, we'll end up worshiping something. If it's not money, it's material things, it's our homes. It can even be, even though God blessed us with our families, we can even worship our own families and our own children. We can worship sport, we can worship music, we can worship fame, selfish ambition. I was worshiping selfish ambition and fame. And I wanted to be rich and famous and have a lot of money. That was my God, because I thought, if I get that, I'd be happy. I didn't realize what I was doing because I was in darkness. But once we understand the love of Jesus, the love of God in Christ, this gospel is filled with the glory of God. And I love the word gospel. It means good news. Everywhere Jesus went, he spoke about the good news of the kingdom. I love that. The gospel has to be in the context of the kingdom of God. the domain of the king. The king is Jesus. And God created everything through his word. God created everything through his son. God the Father created everything. He spoke the word into existence, spoke the word, and the world was created. The earth was created. The sun was created. The galaxies were created by the power of God's word. That's what your Bible says. That's what my Bible says. And so we're talking about the creator of the universe becoming a man in Jesus. Jesus was fully God, but fully man. He emptied himself of the privilege of being God, but he became a man. And Jesus' message was the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. So when we accept Jesus, we enter the kingdom, the domain of the king, God's kingdom. Isn't that good news? We leave out the kingdom of darkness. We're rescued from the kingdom of darkness and translated, and we come actually into the kingdom of God. And they're not just pretty words. These are realities. Not just nice words to encourage us, actually realities. We can walk in these realities. The title of my message can also be New Creation Realities. These are new creation realities. And 2 Corinthians, I just open up the Bible because I'll quote the Bible and I'll speak a lot of the, sometimes we don't have the time to go for every single scripture because it'll take us a long time. Unless you've got 4 or 5 hours, we can do that. Just a joke. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I know we know this, but I love reading it. You know, I read the word over and over, over and over and over, and we all should. Like if I ate bacon and eggs last week, I'd go, oh, I've eaten bacon and eggs, I don't want to eat that again. It'll still sustain me. It'll still give me vitamins and minerals and strength for my body, even though I ate it last week. I need to eat it again. I need to eat food again, all right? So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you in anyone? Are you in Christ? Now, if you're a Christian, you're in Christ. If you call yourself a Christian, you're a Christ follower, you are in Christ. This is your promise. This is what actually happened. He is a new creation. And that word creation literally means like a new species of being that never existed before. New means new, and the word creation is like manufactured, to be manufactured, to be created. So we were in our sins, but God actually recreated us, a new creation. Old things are passed away. That's pretty good news. Old things are passed away. Everything that ever I was is passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I believe this. When I came to Christ at the age of 19, I believed that the old is gone. The old Leo died in Christ. That's no longer me. The enemy reminds me of my past. And that's not me. That person died. I'm a born again believer. That means I'm a baby in Christ, desiring the sincere milk of the word. I'm a baby. So if I'm a baby, if a baby's born, you can't blame a baby for his past life. You don't go, oh, I know what you did in your past life. You don't have a past life. We don't believe in reincarnation. A baby's born, brand new life. When you're born into the kingdom, brand new life. The past is gone. The old is gone. That means curses on my dad, on my mum, past generations. That means negative words that have been spoken, gone. If my dad or mum said, you're hopeless, you're no good, you're stupid, you'll amount to nothing when you grow old, I don't believe those words anymore. Those words have been cut off and broken. I'm not going to even, rewind it in my mind and press play. I'm not going to think about it. When the enemy tries to remind me, I go, no, that person died. I'm a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So I don't fear curses. I really don't. I don't fear curses because I'm a new person. And if you try to curse me, I don't care if witches or warlocks try to curse me. If I go to Africa and they try, it doesn't. There's no fear in me for them, that word or their curses to come on me because I'm in Christ. How can darkness put a curse on light? It's impossible. When you believe the word of God, it totally transforms your thinking, your mind. If you turn to James really quickly, James chapter 1, I really want us just to understand how the word of God affects every part of our life. Every part of our life. James chapter 1, we can pick it up in verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness or with humility the implanted word. We need to receive with humility the implanted word. Like I'm sharing the word of God. And if you go, I don't know if that's in the Bible. I'm happy for you to come after the message and say, where's that in the Bible? You quoted this. You said this. You can show me the Bible. I trust what I say is all in the Word of God. If you don't believe me because we just met, you can ask me. All right. Which is able to save your soul. The Word of God's able to save our soul. Now, the word saved is zozo. That doesn't just mean saved from sin and saved from so that we're forgiven of sin. It does mean that. But zozo means wholeness. It means health. It means prosperity, the peace of mind. It means saved in every part of our humanity, every part of our being. The 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think it's around 12, it says that God has sanctified us, made us holy, spirit, soul, and body. So God has done a complete work in Christ Jesus for us. When God sent Jesus as a sacrifice, he didn't just take care of our sin and everything else is still broken. Does that make sense? Do you think that he just forgave you of your sins, but I've still broken in other areas? Now, he has the power to heal our brokenness in our soul. If we've been hurt, he has the power to heal that. Just like he can heal a physical body, he can heal blind eyes and deaf ears. We've seen many miracles. As he can heal people, their physical ailments and their physical sickness, he can heal our soul. This is the Word of God, which is able to save, heal, restore, make whole even our soul. I believe you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what's happened to me. You don't know the things that have happened. And I don't know. We've all had our own stories. We've all had our own background. But I believe the power of God is so powerful, he can heal the worst abuse. Where we actually just believe, I'm a new creation. I'm loved by my Father. And the love of God heals. But for the love of God to heal, you have to experience the love of God. You have to actually encounter the love of God. I can't tell you how many times I've encountered the love of God. And I weep like a baby. I'm 50, almost 52. I've been in the Lord for over 30 years. I still weep like a baby. I don't want to lose my tender heart. I don't want to go, no, no, I know all this now. I know the Bible. I've read the Bible for so many years. Thank you. Yep. Like, it's not about head, just head. I've got a heart. I've got a soul. I've got a spirit. I need to encounter God in every part of me, spirit, soul, and body. So if God touches my heart and I feel, what's the word? The best word is humbled. I feel humbled and I feel like I reverence you, God. I respect you. I weep and I let him touch my heart. And I don't know what he's doing. Sometimes he might be healing things, healing my heart. And I feel whole. Bible says, perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear has torment. It's a scripture. Perfect love will cast out all fear in us. To the point that I'm free from people and what they think of me. Like if I live for people and what they think of me, I'm bound up. Fear of man, the Bible says, the fear of man is a snare. Proverbs. And the fear of man, if I'm the fear of man, Paul says you can't be a servant of Christ if I fear man. So if I'm afraid of what people think of me all the time, I'm living, I used to say to my wife when we were first married, honey, don't worry about it. Stop living in other people's minds. Stop worrying about what they think of you. Be free. So I'm free of you. You should be free of me. We're free of each other and we're here to love God. Yeah. The freedom of the Lord is beautiful. So James chapter 1, but be doers of the word. That's the key. Because if you've been a Christian for many, many years, there are times where I feel I hear the word, but I'm not living up to the word that I'm hearing. I'm sure we've all done that. If you're honest, like so I've heard the word, I'm hearing. I mean, we go to church morning and night. We've been going to church. Our kids have grown up in church morning and night, Sunday morning and Sunday night, all their lives and all that for 30 years. So we hear the word all the time. We pray on Tuesdays. We hear other messages. We podcast. We hear videos. We go to conferences. We hear the word. And America's like Australia. We're full of the word. If you're hungry, you can get the word. So there's nothing wrong with the word. We need to eat. But what happens if I sit on a hospital bed and all I do is eat food? I don't move an inch. I don't move a muscle. I just eat big meals a day. Keep eating like that for 2-3 weeks. What happens to you? You're not working it off. You're not using energy. It has to be stored up. It goes to fat. So the way to build spiritual muscle, the way to build real muscle is to actually eat and then exercise. Put a demand on your muscle to use that energy, to do. To me, the picture of doing the word is I'm exercising my muscle of faith. I'm actually doing what God says to do. And that is every area of our life. If someone hurts me, I'm going to do the word by forgiving them. I'm going to exercise my faith muscle of forgiveness and I'm going to forgive. If the Lord challenges me to be generous, I'm going to exercise my faith and do it and exercise and be generous. You know what I'm saying? Every part of the word, whatever the word of God says, if cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that means I'm supposed to cast down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If God says I can cast down every thought, that means I must be able to do it. Or God's an unjust God to tell me to cast down every thought and make every thought obedient to Christ. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So God's telling us you can make every thought obedient. So I've got to actually exercise my faith, and I believe we can do it. The moment I believe I can't do it, you disempower yourself to be able to do it. The moment you believe, I actually can't do that, Leo. I've tried that. I can't do it. So you put a ceiling on yourself. Does that make sense? I had a girl that was abused by a guy, boyfriend and girlfriend. He kept bashing her and abusing her. And I said, you need to leave this guy. This guy's not good for you. But I can't. But I can't, Leo. I can't. I tried. I can't. I just can't do it. I can't. And I used to say, you can't because you say you can't. But you can. God says you can. Yeah, but because she actually believed no one else will love her. I'm so unworthy. I'm so insecure. And that if I do leave him, who else is going to love me? So she goes through the abuse because she believes she can't leave. So you can't leave. You stop saying you can't. And she eventually left him, thank God, because she actually took on those words and believed, I actually can. You understand that? We do that to ourselves. We put unbelief on ourselves. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. We don't even need the devil's help. We deceive ourselves when we don't do the word. And I believe I've been in that place in my life. I'm sure I have. I know I have. Well, I don't even need the devil to deceive me because I've just deceived myself by not doing what I've already heard. Because you can't get more if you don't do what you already have. God's not unfaithful. He's just a faithful God. He's a very good steward. He won't give you more revelation if the revelation is already given you. You're not doing it. Or I'm not doing it. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Who knows what the mirror this is referring to? In the Bible, if you look at the mirror, what's it referring to? It says, but he who looks into the perfect law, he's looking into the perfect law of liberty. So the mirror is the word of God. It's very clear in the Bible. The mirror is the word of God. I can show you in 2 Corinthians, we'll probably go there in a moment, that when you look into the mirror, you're looking like in a mirror to the Lord. And when you look at the Lord, when you see the Lord, you reflect his glory and you get changed into the very image that you see. Because you and I can't see. I mean, you can't change into what you don't see. You have to see the revelation of the Lord and then get changed into the very image that you see. So the mirror is the word of God is the mirror. So what's the purpose of a mirror? I look in the mirror in the morning, I wake up, and I'm pretty ugly. You know, I've got sleep in my eyes, saliva maybe. It's going to be real, all right? And I've got to wash my face, I've got to brush my teeth, bad breath. I've got to do my hair. It's telling me your hair's a mess. Do your hair. You need to shave. Okay, shave your face. You need to brush, you know. And women, you like that too. You have to make yourself, okay, I've got to put lipstick. I've got to do this. And it's telling you. It's telling you. This is how you look. You have to do something. But if I look and I walk away and I don't do the word, I forget what I look like. I love this phrase. It says, he forgets what manner of man he was. To me, the man that you was is the real, I like to say it this way, I like to phrase things so you remember. The woman that you was is the woman that you is. The real person you see in the mirror, that's the reflection of who you really are in Christ. That's the real you. You think, hang on a second, Leo, how can that be the real me? Because the way God sees you, the way God created you is the way God wants you to be. Let me go this far. What makes a person who they are? What makes you the sum total of who you are, how you think, how you act, the feelings you have, the thoughts you think, the actions you make? What makes you you right now, up until this point that who you are, this point that I am? What makes me who I am? The answer is really easy. Ever since I was born, the words I've listened to, the parents that influenced me, put words into me, put thoughts into me, taught me how to live in life, the books I've read, the movies I've watched, the teachers I've been influenced under, the coaches, the sport, the friends, every movie I've ever watched, every book I've ever read, you know, that's
Because that's the input, isn't it? You're putting input into you, and that's what makes you who you are. The experiences I've had with people, girlfriends, boys, friends, whatever it is. Every experience I've had with friends, people, fathers, mother, everything makes me who I am. And what my point is, why is that who you are? Because that's what you've experienced. But remember, those words, some of those words were seeds sown by the devil himself. The Lord sows seed into the field, but the wicked one sowed seeds too. It's a parable. So if the enemy said, or even through someone that you love, they love you, but because they didn't know any better, they say things like, you're hopeless. You're no good. You're stupid. You'll amount to nothing when you grow old. In anger, we say things that we should never say. And those seeds, if they take root, they start making you who you are. Nobody else loves me. Everybody, you know, I'm not saying that we're like that, but I'm using that as an example. We're all at different degrees of what those, I'm using an extreme example. Some people feel unworthy because they feel like they've never been loved. They've been rejected. They've been spoken over. And this is how I see myself with, I'm not that. I don't think I can be like Jesus. I don't think I can walk the way God wants me to because these are the words I've, does it make sense? So that's what makes us who we are. So that's why we look into the Word of God, but that's the real me. Because who says what I grew up with up until the age of 19 was supposed to be the real me? There were words spoken over my life that should never have been spoken. So I've got to make a decision when the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've got to believe that word's true. So now my mouth starts to align itself to what the Word of God says. If the Word of God says, I can forgive others, even when I don't feel like it, I don't think I can, I'm upset, I'm angry, I really, really don't want to forgive them, I make a decision, God, you said I should, so I'm going to forgive. And plus, on top of that, you forgave me of a $20 million debt I could never, ever, ever, ever be forgiven of if I tried in my own strength. You forgave me for free. That's like the cross. He forgave me of the most greatest debt I could never pay God. If I really believe that God forgave me in Christ at the cross, when you hurt me, it's $20 debts. I've got all the forgiveness in the world to forgive you. That's really the revelation of how we forgive others, is when you realize how much he's forgiven you. That's the parable of Jesus again. Jesus used that example. I just paraphrased it in my words. But he actually used that. So, if that's true, now I have to say all that to say the gospel is good news because it has to be in the backdrop of bad news. Good news is not good news if there's no bad news. Does that make sense? Why is there good news if there wasn't any bad news? Why is Jesus good news? Because when you say, oh, you need to be saved, if someone doesn't know the whole context, what do I have to be saved from? What are you talking about? So how can they accept the good news if they don't know the bad news? So we have to understand the context of why the good news had to, Jesus had to be born and die on the cross. That's the good news. Died in our place. He didn't die for his own sins. He died for our sins. He didn't pay the penalty for his sin. He was perfect without sin. He died in humanity's place. He consumed the judgment of Almighty God against humanity, not for himself. That's good news. That God says, I give you forgiveness. I give you redemption, forgiveness, and wholeness, and healing for free in our wholeness of our whole body. So in the beginning, this is what we've got to understand, or else we can't understand the good news to its fullness. If we don't know what we lost, you can never know what you gained. So in the beginning, I know you know the Bible, so I'm just going to quote it. It's going to take us ages to go through it. If you don't trust me, write it down. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it tells us very clearly that God created man and woman in his image and in his likeness. Do we all believe that? God made mankind, Adam and Eve, in his image and in his likeness. I mean, we hear that, but do we believe it? Imagine being made in the image and the likeness of God. We reflect, the likeness is like when I look in the mirror, it's the likeness of Leo. It's a reflection of who God is. It's like we're made in his image. And when God made Adam, he would have made him perfect. He perfectly formed him. He created everything with his words and he made mankind with his hands. Personal, intimate, formed him from the earth, made a magnificent Adam. But he's not moving, he's not breathing. Not a living soul yet. God comes down, the Bible says. And went, a man became a living soul. Before that, he was dead, no life. And the moment God breathed, where did the breath of man come from? The very breath of God. The word breath is the same word as spirit. The spirit of man, it's what it is in the Hebrew. The spirit of man came from the spirit of God. We're literally made in God's image. Imagine that. And when I think of what is the image of God, what is the nature of God, how am I supposed to know what it is? I believe the image and nature of God is love. And the first John says God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. God is love and in him there's no selfishness at all. God is faith and in him there's no fear at all. Could you imagine fear being in the heart of God? We know there's no fear in him. He's not in heaven going, oh God, what's going to happen now? Look at the Middle East. We don't know. Angel, Gabriel, Michael, what's happening? He doesn't operate in fear ever. There is no fear in the heart of God. True? You agree with that? 100%. God made us with full of faith because we're made in his image, full of faith with no fear at the beginning. Full of joy, God has no depression. No depression whatsoever. This is true of humanity. When God made Adam and Eve, he gave us joy right at the beginning. This is without the fall. This is in the image and likeness of God. When Adam got up, he's made in the image of God. I believe with all my heart, he's glowing with glory. The Bible says in Psalms 8 that God crowned. That word crowned means clothed with glory and honor. God clothed mankind with glory and honor. So they weren't really physically, they weren't naked as such because the glory of God was on them. The glory was shining bright. I reckon if you saw Adam in his, oh, bright. We couldn't handle the glory that's in him because he's made in the image and likeness of God. Imagine how perfect Adam would have looked. 6, 7, 8 abs, you know, 8 abs maybe, who knows? But good looking. I mean, God made Adam. And then God made it. God put Adam to sleep. Check this out. God put Adam to sleep, took the side and took the rib out and made a magnificent woman. You know why a man doesn't understand a woman? Because they were asleep when God made a woman. Totally asleep, oblivious to what God was making. And Adam and Eve make up the image of God. Adam and Eve, man and woman, together make up the image and likeness of God. Now imagine they're walking with God in the cool of the garden, fellowshipping with the Lord God, light to light, fellowship. Man has no sin, no darkness, no selfishness, no depression, no fear, no despair, no worry, no anxiety, no stress, not an ounce in Adam and Eve until the day they disobeyed. God said to them, in the day that you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that day you will die. God's word's true. God was 100% right. I mean, Satan tempted them with, surely wouldn't die. Did God really say? Question the integrity of God. Question God. Because maybe if you take it, you'll be like God. Tempting Adam and Eve with the very thing they already are. They already are made in the image of God. And the moment they ate the fruit of that tree, of the knowledge of good, it was the act of disobedience that I believe brought death. You know what I'm saying? Like if I'm just using this example, if God said, don't walk on that green patch of grass, the fact that they would disobey God is what brought death. Because they're actually saying, I don't trust you, God. I don't really believe what you told. I know you told us that if we ate it, we'd die, but I'm not going to trust you. I'm going to trust what I see, what Satan is telling us through the snake. And they disobeyed. They broke. They committed high treason. They broke their trust to God. And they spiritually died. They literally lost the presence of God. When I think of spiritually died, if their spirit is there full of love, full of joy, full of peace, full of, you know, all the beautiful things that God has made in his image and his likeness, when they died, that spirit died. Fear came in. Guilt came in. Shame came in. Oh, we're naked. And they ran. Hid themselves. Got some fig trees. Covered themselves up in their nakedness. They never knew guilt. They never knew shame before. Now they've got fear and they're hiding. And the Lord God still came in the cool of the garden. We moved away from God. God didn't run away. God still came in and says, Adam, where are you? Now, God's not asking because he doesn't know where they are. He's asking because he wants Adam to answer. Adam's hiding behind a tree, created thing. That's what mankind has done ever since. Run behind created things. Run away from a beautiful, loving God, a beautiful, loving Father. I heard you walking in the cool of the garden, but I was, it basically says, I was afraid, therefore I hid. All of a sudden, fear came. Fear wasn't there before because of their sin, because of their nakedness, because of their shame, guilt. Now they're afraid, and fear has driven us away from God. Now that's, I'm just trying to explain, that's what we lost. If we lost all that, we regained it in Christ. We actually do regain it. But if we don't know this truth, we don't walk in it. If we don't know the revelation of what we lost, we'll never know the revelation of what we gained. If we don't regain it, that means what the devil did in Adam, was more powerful than what God did in Christ if we don't regain it. We were. What does the Bible say in Ephesians and Colossians? You were dead in your sins and in the trespasses of your sins, but God made you alive with Christ. So what part of us died? Our spirit died. Our soul entered death as well, because through fear and all that, our mind, our will, our emotions also was separated from God, alienated from God, and therefore our body became king. Our body started to rule. Does that make sense? Because our body now is ruling, the lust of the flesh is ruling, became the king on the throne, and our spirit became a slave. Our soul became a slave to our flesh. Does that make sense? Because our spirit died to God. That's why Paul says in the gospel that you were dead in your sins. When was I dead in my sins? Doesn't make sense. When was I dead? When I read that at the age of 19, I'm alive. I was dead in Christ, but I'm physically alive. When I was dead in my sins, what do you mean dead in my sins? It has to be talking about my spirit. You were dead in your sins, but God made you alive. What part of you came alive? Your spirit came alive. We got resurrected. My spirit that was dead, this is the born-again experience. The born-again experience is your dead spirit is alive, is made alive. And in 1 Peter says that you were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. This is the gospel which was preached to you. The gospel is the good news. You can't get born again without the gospel, without the cross being told to someone. So the gospel is the good news, the cross. And when you put your faith in what God did in Christ, the Holy Spirit, I believe the Holy Spirit is a picture of water. The Word of God is seed. Your heart is soil. We know that from Mark chapter 4. Your heart is soil. Seed, you can't get born again without the seed, the gospel coming in. When you hear it and you receive it, the water of the Holy Spirit regenerates your dead spirit and you come alive. Imagine that. Alive to God again. Resurrected from the dead. That's the truth of what the Bible says. If we don't feed that spirit that came alive, your spirit will go quiet. It's still alive. It's just no. You're not getting sustenance. You're not getting life from God. You're not getting the Word of God that gives you the faith and the minerals and the strength that you need to live out of your spirit. Still alive, still born again, but we need to be sustained by the Word of God. Does that make sense? And our mind now, the Bible says about our mind is to be renewed. The Bible doesn't say your mind got born again. Spirit got born again. Your mind gets renewed by the Word of God. That's what the Bible tells us. And the body is subjected by the spirit that's reigning now. The spirit now is on the throne. Now the spirit leads. The spirit's dominant. The mind's renewed. It works in unison with the spirit. The spirit that's born again, that's getting fed with the Word, fellowshipping with God, hanging out with God, worshiping Jesus, loving Jesus, just praying in the spirit, just getting close to God. And the mind's renewed now together. They tell the body what to do. And the body listens. And we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh because we're walking in the spirit. That's what happens. So when we understand what Jesus did for us at the cross, oh, so good. This is good news, because I believe with all my heart what God did in Christ was way more powerful than what the devil did in Adam. Way more powerful. God said right at the beginning, he said, a seed of a woman will bruise the head, will bruise Satan's head. The seed of a woman, hang on, that's the first prophecy of the virgin birth, because a woman doesn't have a seed. A woman has eggs. A man has seed. So he's prophesying, I believe, the virgin birth. And through the virgin birth, Jesus is going to be born. See, God had to bring another Adam into the earth. For God to redeem mankind, he has to bring another perfect man to take the penalty for the sins of humanity. Does that make sense? God is a legal God in the sense that he does everything legally and fair and just. He's a righteous God. He can't break his own word. He can't just say, I'm forgive you just because I want to. Because Satan will come to God and says, you can't just forgive man just because you want to, because they're spiritually dead. So God does everything fair and legal. So why didn't God just stoop down and make another Adam from the dust of the earth, make another one, let him die for the sins of the world the next year or two? Because the earth was cursed. Everything was cursed. When Adam and Eve, God gave all authority to Adam and Eve over to rule the earth and everything and take dominion over everything. So the earth is connected to the authority of man that's connected to God. God, mankind has authority only in relationship with God. So once they lost their connection, they lost authority over the earth. Earth came cursed. He couldn't just make another man from Adam because he'd be a cursed man. But he has to bring an Adam in, a perfect Adam, the son of man, the son of God. Jesus referred to himself as the son of Adam. and as a son of God, but he referred to himself as the son of Adam more than any other things, the son of man. And so I believe God spoke and prophesied, but spoke and prophesied through the prophets in the Old Testament. It took God 4,000 years until the word became flesh. And if you read, the first one was a seed of a woman, which I believe is referring to a seed of mankind. The seed of Abraham's in the Bible, that Jesus will be the seed of Abraham. Very clear in the scriptures. That's the father of a nation, because Abraham was the father of a nation. He just gets more and more specific. Then he says that Jesus will be from a tribe of Judah, clearly, specifically prophesying that he's going to be born from Judah, the tribe of Judah. Now it's from mankind, a nation, to a tribe. House of Bethlehem, that's a town, a village. He's going to be from the house of Bethlehem, is the town. The root of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David, but Jesse is the root of Jesse is a family line. So he's getting more and more specific. Then he says, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. That's a woman, a distinct woman, one woman. God just got more and more specific. There's actually thousands of prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled so many of, all of them that were prophesied about him. But what I'm saying is, I believe Israel got to the place God had to speak faith until and prophesy until the Israelites believed the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming because the word was becoming flesh through faith. The young women would have thought, I hope I can bear the Messiah. Maybe I'll be the one that God chooses. I believe there was faith in Israel. You know, why did God do that? In a sense, God gave authority to mankind. And when mankind disobeyed God, he's on the outside looking in until you invite him in. God will respect your free will even though God's absolutely sovereign. He gives you a free will. That's why I believe prayer is absolutely necessary because God gave us the authority. God won't do anything unless we pray him. John Wesley said, God does nothing on the earth except through prayer. And biblically, I believe that's true. I believe God does nothing on the earth except through believing prayer. That's why he needs his church to pray. And it goes as incense to the Father. In the book of Revelations, the bowl of incense must have been massively large. The angel took it to the throne and poured it on the altar before the Father, then the wrath of God came to the earth. Even the wrath of God was not released until the prayers of the saints was released to the Father. So I'm saying all that to say God spoke until the heart of man had the faith and angel came to the woman, Mary. And why is it so significant that Mary had to be a virgin? Because all of mankind was severed before God and everyone that's born after Adam was born in sin. Mary actually had sin, but she was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So I believe the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit made her pregnant, the seed came from God, and I believe with all my heart, and I believe when you get to heaven, you'll see the truth about this, and we'll all find out the reality of it. But I know scientists and doctors know that the blood, the mother that bears a child, the blood in the baby does not mix with the blood with the woman, the mother that's bearing the child. They don't mix, right? That's true. And I personally believe it's when the sperm hits the egg where the blood is released. So we get our bloodline from our father. And I believe that's why Mary personally could bear the Son of God and he was sinless. Because the bloodline came from the Father himself. So Jesus, God brought a sinless man into the earth without sin. And then he was in absolute oneness with God, fellowshipping with God, connecting with God, doing miracles, proving that he was the Son of God. The signs, the wonders, the miracles. And so all that to bring a sinless man because he was in covenant with God and now he's representing mankind. He's representing mankind. He basically, the word identification is a very, very, very important revelation and understanding if we're going to understand who we are in Christ. Because Jesus Christ totally identified himself with mankind. All in the Bible, again, in Romans, in Colossians, in Ephesians, in Colossians, in Ephesians, and in Galatians. The Bible says we suffered with Christ. The Bible says we crucified with Christ. We died with Christ, doesn't it? And we made alive with Christ. Hang on a sec. When did I suffer with Christ? When was I crucified with Christ? It was Christ that was on the cross. How can it say we died with Christ, crucified with Christ? That's the teaching of identification. Christ didn't do it for himself, he did it for mankind. So it was as if you were on the cross. Not that you were, or I was. He died in our place, didn't he? So when I repent, the old man dies. That's my death. When I gave my life to Jesus and bowed my knee and said, Jesus, be my Lord, that's when the old Leo died. I entered into his death. Through baptism, we died. So we buried with Christ. Water baptism. buried with Christ. The picture is Jesus, who was sinless, without sin, dies on the cross. He's buried, but on the third day, he's resurrected from the dead and breaks the curse over mankind. Because someone has taken the place and the judgment of our sin was put completely on him. And when God brings a sacrifice, he brings a perfect sacrifice, a perfect redemption, completely forgiven and completely redeemed. Mankind is. God has made covenant with man and God says, the good news is I forgive everyone. But not everyone's forgiven until they accept Jesus. Everyone that goes to hell are forgiven. They didn't accept Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying that. I'm saying you have to accept Jesus to enter this covenant, to enter this agreement. You have to say, yes, Lord, I bow the knee. I die to my flesh. I get born again. I get raised from the dead. And I accept complete wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. That's why Jesus heals today. Amen. The Bible says we suffered with Christ, crucified with Christ, died with Christ, buried with Christ through baptism, made alive with Christ. And not just that, we're raised with Christ in heavenly places. Not just that, we're seated. This gets too much. If you really believe it, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. We're actually seated with Christ. That's our position of authority over all principalities and powers and might and sickness and disease. We are seated with Christ. It's the Bible. It's actually the Word of God. I've just shared the unadulterated Word of God, that God has forgiven us and redeemed us and made a complete redemption. Oh, Hebrews. I'm finishing. I've got to finish. But Hebrews clearly says, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood, he entered not the Holy of Holies made with hands, but the one that's made without hands. I believe with all my heart, when Jesus said, it is finished, this side of earth, once he breathed his last, nothing could have been undone. It was finished. He lived his life completely in covenant, in holiness, died in our place. But once he gave up the spirit and he dies, it wasn't finished. Redemption wasn't finished. The redemption part of it was he poured his blood. When he got raised from the dead after 3 days, with the blood in his veins, I believe with all my heart, because Hebrews teaches it really clearly, he goes into the very holy of holies in heaven before the Father. A man enters heaven in our place and pours out blood at the altar. And that blood's still there crying out, mercy, 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 and grace over everyone that receives. That's in your Bible, Hebrews chapter 9, 10 and 11. You can't unread that. It's really, really clear if you know your Word. I don't hear a lot of people preaching about it, but to me it excites my heart that not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood, he went into the very holy of holies. Not made with hands, the one that's made with hands in the Old Testament, but the real one without hands. He went in heaven itself to stand before God in our place. So he's our substitute. That's why we're forgiven. And if you ever mess up, just ask God to forgive you. And he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And it's as if you never sinned. You don't have to live a day in guilt or shame ever again. Because we want to stay intimate with him. We want to stay close to him. It's this fiery love that we reconnected to this perfect Father through Jesus Christ. Amen? Can we pray? I pray, you know what, my heart is, I want to stir you to hunger for the Word. I want to stir you to say, I need to see those things in the Word. Why haven't I seen those things? I want to see that because I like that too. I want to see more. I want to see more things in the Word that I've never seen before. I want to get more revelation. I want to keep growing. I don't want to ever think I've arrived. So my heart is to give you such a thirst and a hunger for his presence and for his Word and to come to intimate love relationship with him. God's got a massive call on this church. It's going to be based on the Word of God and the presence of God. The very purpose of the whole gospel is so that we can be filled with his spirit again. That was it. Cleanse the temple so he can fill us with his presence and his spirit. Now, I don't know how to do this, but I just want to ask you just to respond in some way. I'm going to pray a quick prayer for us all. And just in your heart of hearts, you just say, Leo, pray for me. You lift your hand and say, Lord, I want more of God. I want to know him more intimately. I want to come into greater revelation. Thank you. Just lift your hands up. If I was in seat, I would put my hands up because I want to know more than God. I want to know more. And God's going to take your heart's desire. So, Father, I thank you for this precious church called Hope Rock Church. Thank you. You planted it here, Father, 12 years ago. And I thank you that the establishment of your light, the establishment of the called out ones, the Christ ones, the Christians, you've established here to be a light into this community, into this city. I pray that you strengthen them with might by your Spirit in the inner man. I pray that the Spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus will be given to all of us. Father, we'll grow in the fullness of what you've done for us in Christ. That you give us such a hunger, such a thirst for your word and for your presence and for a relationship that we never had before. Father, let us understand that we're totally, totally forgiven, redeemed, even healed. Lord, the word of God, you sent your word and you healed them of their diseases. So, Father, we speak healing into our bodies right now. We command arthritis to leave people's bodies right now in the name of Jesus. I command the knee pain. I've sensed there's someone with a knee pain. I command it to be healed in Jesus' name. All pain to go. Ankle pain, go in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your healing power to heal our bodies, our hearts, our emotions. Let your presence come. Fill us with your love. And Father, we pray that we'll never be the same again. Your word will never return to your void. But it will accomplish what you sent it to do. And you will, it will prosper in the thing that you sent it for. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody says, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. We are a church that is passionate about knowing Christ and making him known in our city, the nation, and the ends of the earth. For more information on who we are, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.